Hello, everybody, and welcome to the opening night edition of The Fan Experience. You are catching us right in the thick of a torrential downpour at Nationals Park. The New York Yankees are currently up 4-1. You know, Stanton started off with a bang right in the first inning, but we are excited to see MLB back in action. You know, everything is starting to seem like normal again. And, you know, it's been a long 4 months, and we're finally there. You know, the Nationals, of course, got that late news that they lost Juan Soto. And so they're playing a man down right now. But, you know, so far so good with the game. You know, very competitive. It's 4-1. You know, we have a lot of time left, but, you know, we'll see what this rain delay really amounts to. Rick, how you liking your Yankees back in action?
Good, Mike. What's good, everybody? Tonight, it's a great night, man. We got baseball back. We got the Yankees back. We got A-Rod doing his color announcing again tonight, so it's all good. Listen, the Yankees look great, man. I mean, this is the best thing also happened to a guy like Stanton. There's no fans in the stands, so it's not like there's any really pressure on him. And the guy comes out and hits a two-run bomb in the first at-bat, so that's great. It's 2-for-3 tonight. He's got 3 RBIs. Looks great. Garrett Cole looks as advertised, man. $324 million. The guy's a machine. You can't ask for anything better. And, you know, the Nationals are just, you know, that's a devastating blow losing Juan Soto like that because that guy's a big star for them. But they're going to be a good team this year. But I just the fact that baseball's back, that people are gathering around TVs and watching the game. I mean, you saw at the game tonight that across the street there's a hotel over there and there's a bunch of people sitting over there. Nobody's social distancing. Nobody's wearing masks. They're taking pictures, loving baseball. I mean, we want everybody to be safe and healthy and wear your mask. But nothing better than to see a group of people out there watching the game in, like the deepest of center field out there. So it's awesome, man. I think this is great. And then we got the Dodgers and Giants that are on tonight. As you know, Kershaw's out in the IL. He got a strained back. Mookie Betts just signed the $392 million contract. That's wonderful for that team and that franchise. So all positive news today, man. I think this is great.
Yeah, 12-year extension for Betts, and he'll make his Dodgers debut. And yeah, we just found out about Kershaw. It was a late scratch, and you know, put right on the IL with the back. And yeah, obviously that's a big blow for the Dodgers, who definitely have some promise in this year. You know that they're a very strong team. You know, they got a lot of strong players, but you know, Kershaw is a big part of that. So, you know, they definitely hope that he comes back sooner rather than later. And yeah, the Yankees are certainly getting off to a flying start. And, you know, you got people in the stadium going to retrieve the ball for home runs now. Let it sit there for 8.5 innings. You know, we got A-Rod and the ESPN booth, you know, they're sitting there in studio, and then you have Buster Olney is the only one in the stadium, you know, so it's a weird feeling. It's and they have the crowd noise playing, you know, when the Nationals make a big play, you know, so it's something there, but it's, you know, it's not business as usual, but baseball is back.
And it's back in a big way, man. And obviously they also announced the changes to the playoff. So they're gonna have sixteen teams out of the wild card or something like that, or in the playoffs. Is that what it was? The players are getting $50 million. You know, the players are getting a $50 million slice of the pie. Yeah, they're gonna get incentivized $50 million to add. You expand the playoffs, so that's great. And I like it because the top seeded wild card teams host all three wild card games. So if you lose that first game, if you're a road team, you got two games to, you know, coming back into the series, you know, to win the series, and you got to do it all on the road. So it's fascinating. I like these things that they're trying out, man. They're doing different things. They're making the game more exciting for the fans. I think that's great, man. I think baseball's got to be a little more innovative, a little bit more creative. And I think, you know, ideas like this and experimenting like this, especially in the season, that's unprecedented, where you have a 60-game sprint to the finish. I think it's awesome, man, and it'll allow baseball to show off more of its players, man, more of its superstar players, you know, who may be on a so-so team or a 500 team. If they can make one of these wild card teams, I think that's great, and it's great for the game.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm intrigued about the runner starting at second in the extra innings.
Yeah, that that's,
you know, I know that's probably just this year, but you know, there's been extra inning games that have just gone on forever, right. And you know, I kind of like this. I kind of like this stipulation, you know, and see how it plays out and how many times it actually comes into account in this shortened season. But yeah, they build it when they first started the game. They had a graphic up: the pennant race starts now. It's like, I mean, you know, granted that's the goal of every season, but they're already talking pennant. You know, it's usually a marathon and not a sprint. You know, and they're already talking about this. I mean, right now we should be just coming out of an All-Star break, and right. You know, we're just starting the first game of the season. So it's definitely a weird feeling, but it's definitely an exciting feeling knowing that baseball is off and running and in a rain delay.
In a monsoon over there. I mean, look at that. It is pouring out there.
It is, man. It is. And
but you know what? You know what else? Like, with all these I hope baseball keeps a lot of these changes, man. I mean, I hope they go to the designated hitter both on the National and the American League. I think it's long overdue. Have the National League and the American League both have DHs. I think we should do that. And also incorporate these changes. Here's the other thing. With the 60-game season, I think this accelerates shortening the season. If they can cut the season down by, like, let's say 10 games, shave off 10 games off the season, give these guys a little bit more rest, I don't think it'll make for even more exciting baseball. I mean, I think we'll have, you know, fans captivated by, you know, the urgency of the games. You know, I think nowadays fans just get bored and it's 162 games and, you know, not people don't pay much attention until, like, we get to August or even September. But if you can shorten the season by some games, let's say they shorten it by 10 to 20 games, and they incorporate these new rules, you know, with the runner on second and extra innings, with the designated hitter throughout baseball, I think baseball, it'll make the game more exciting, more fun, and it definitely will have me watching games all the time. I mean, for sure, you know, because they got to compete with the NBA and the NFL. And, you know, these other two leagues are always innovating. They're always trying different things, and baseball needs to start doing some of that. So these are some good ideas over here.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe extend the playoff teams for good and start the playoffs a little sooner. To, you know, you said knock off 10 games, but like, where are you going to knock it off?
You want to knock it off on the back end of the season instead of starting. I mean, because I was thinking instead of starting in March, why don't we start in the middle of April?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they've been starting the end of March, so definitely we have to stick to the beginning of April and stuff, but.
But think about it. The World Series usually ends what? Like in the middle of October almost November, like now, because you have all these playoffs. So if you extend the offseason or shave off 20 games and let's say start in the middle of April, where it's a little warmer, you can play games in certain cities, I think that'll be tremendous for baseball.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what they do and let's see how this season pans out and see if they can innovate in new and exciting ways, because, you know, MLB has, you know, it's gotten a little
stale,
you know, lackadaisical in their innovations. You know, they're very old fashioned in their ways, and you know, they really need to change some things up to keep up with everyone else that's out there, especially now when, you know, it was always baseball in the summer. Now you have baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. So they're actually going to have some competition in the summer. So they need to, you know, they need to get out there and get out in front of it quickly. And, you know, hopefully they can. You know, I mean, me personally, I still love baseball. You know, so it's not really affecting me, but there's a lot of people that are on the fence. So, you know, we'll see what they do. But the NLDL, DH, I don't want the DH in the NL. I love seeing my pitchers hit. But I'm an NL guy to the bone, and you know, we'll ask our guest who we are going to be bringing on right now. He is a New York Mets fan, and he is an NL fan, so let's see his thoughts on that. We're bringing on right now Eric Gonzalez, otherwise known as E.
Hello, How you doing? What's up, man?
We're doing good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Just hanging out, watching a little bit of this preseason basketball. I was watching a baseball game, but, you know, it's coming down hard right now. It's raining.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, thanks for coming on tonight. We appreciate it, bro. So let's start off with this. When we were going to school, Eric and I went to school together. I remember you used to always wear a Mets jacket. You always used to rock this Mets jacket back in the day. Talk a little bit about, obviously, you know, tell everybody where you're from or whatever, but how did you start, or where did you fall in love with the Mets at such an early age? Like, how did that all happen?
Dang, it goes back to me being a little kid. My father was a Mets fan. So, you know, we only had we had one TV. Then later on, we ended up getting two TVs. But when we had the one TV, he was in control of the TV, so the Met game was always on. And he was an old school kind of guy, so he didn't like – he was against the DH and all that stuff, so he was always a National League kind of guy, which he always stuck to the NL team. So there was no Dodgers, no Giants anymore, so now the Mets, that was the next team. So when I was born, boom, that's all I saw.
So it was all Mets since day one.
Yeah, and plus you got to remember, this is like going to the early to mid-80s, and the Mets were starting to get good. Even like 84, 85, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were good. There's like 91 teams, and then boom, 86. So all this is like I'm a kid. So this is like, wow, like this is the team right here, man. This is hype right here for me.
And I see you're rocking a Mets hat right there. So let's talk about that. 86 comes around. The Mets are the toast of the town. Tell me some of your fond memories of that time. Some of the favorite players that you had, you know, as you're watching those 86 Mets win a world championship.
Oh man, yeah, that was exciting, man. Because I became a baseball fan, a lover of the sport too. You know, playing and everything. So for me, it was like Daryl Strawberry was the number one guy always, you know. It was the main guy. He stood out. He stuck out the way he played, his swag, to his swing, you know, everything. Then I was also, of course, Dwight Gooden. Lenny Dykstra was my man, too. You know, Nails was nasty. You know, he would get dirty, and I enjoy seeing that. Keith Hernandez, I mean, the whole team, Gary Carter, everybody, man. Those guys were all great. Ray Knight, but he was gone quick. So, you know, we replaced him with Howard Johnson came into play. He was good, you know, another guy. So it's always a lot of solid players on the team. So there was a lot not to like, you know.
Oh, 100%. Mike, you got anything?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not as old as you are. You know, I was only one when the 86 Mets came around. So unfortunately, I couldn't really experience that, you know, to the fullest of its greatness. But same thing with me. You know, my dad would have the games on. And that's it. You're watching the Met game. And we would go to one or two games a year. And that's where I fell in love with the Mets as well. And, you know, you mentioned your dad was an NL guy that doesn't like the DH. What's your feeling? Because we were just talking about it right before.
Yeah. So, I was listening to some of that. And I'm kind of the same way. Like, I feel like, you know, the NL, you know, it's its own style. And it should always let the pitchers hit. Nowadays, I'm a little more open to if they want to switch it, I'm not going to be as mad. I'll be like, all right, you know, let's see. This is the year maybe to try it out. But I was always with the let's keep the National League pitchers batting and let's keep the DH and the American League and let's have both leagues be different. You know, that each one is their own league.
Yeah, I mean, I love the strategy aspect of it all. You know, the hit and run aspects and things like that. And it brings an extra level to the game that exactly. You don't have. It's like, okay, just put up the guy that can hit the best. So, yeah. You know,
you guys got to innovate.
Even with your relievers, because you also got to think about, when is my reliever going to bat? When am I going to pinch hit for this guy? It might determine. So, yeah, there is a lot more strategy and coaching to it. But, you know, we're also in an era where in every sport people want action and, you know, and offense. And I'm not against that either. So, you know, if they want to add the extra DH, you got to look at it as like, all right, we lose that old school purity, but we'll also gain a little more action and a little more fun instead of that basically almost automatic out that, you know, the Mets pitchers are. So, you know, but I still like to see the pitcher bat, though, sometimes.
You guys got to get in the absolutely. Real world.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm not against him now.
You guys got to adapt. Yeah. So, E, you were telling us about how you follow the 86 Mets. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. Good. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was gonna just I was just gonna ask, so you obviously you grow close with your father with the Mets and stuff, but like, as far as following the Mets or following any other teams, are there any other like great memories or great connections that you formed through through sports? I mean, you met Ricardo and you had the Mets jacket. I'm sure you guys talked a few times, in elementary school about sports, yeah. But just some kind of friendships or connections that you formed, through sports.
Oh,
tell us about
Well, first of all, I didn't have actually the Mets jacket. That was somebody else who had the Mets jacket. I had a Giants jacket at the time.
All right.
Okay. But I did have other Mets gear. So, of course, that's not a thing. So, so baseball was my first thing because, of course, that's what I grew up watching in the house. But then when I got to, a few years later on, 9, 10 years old, I started, getting into basketball and football and started seeing those sports. And, again, the Giants were a good team. I'm a Giants fan. And around that time, they had a great defense, the Sims. They had a great team. They won Super Bowls and stuff. Then I also was getting into the Knicks, and the Knicks were a little shaky, but started getting into a better team, and they started forming a little something into the early 90s, 92, 93, until 94. So yeah, those two teams inspired me because they were also good at the time, and I love Patrick Ewing. Watching him play, he was always people get on him a lot because he didn't bring that championship, but he was a warrior, man. He played every game. He didn't miss a lot of games. So, I was a big fan of him growing up too.
Yeah, those 90s teams. Pat was the man, bro, with Mason and Starks and Charles Oakley.
Yeah, that team was great. And even later on in the late 90s when they brought Sprewell in Houston, and those teams were still solid.
Those were great times. And tell us about those 90s. I mean, tell us about those 90s Knicks. Tell us about some of those memories watching those games. Because you're a big basketball player. Like, you played a lot of basketball in the courts and the parks. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, that's how big the Knicks were. That, to me, baseball started dying out a little bit in the early 90s. And I was also a little bit upset with the Mets because they let Daryl Strawberry walk. And I was a little young, so I don't know what was going on with contracts and policy and stuff at the time. But I just know they let him walk, and that was my favorite player. So, and the Knicks are coming around, and they're doing really, really good, and they're exciting and everything. So I just get into basketball, and I fall in love with the sport itself, just playing it and being around it. And the Knicks were, like I said, they didn't win a championship, but every year, it was a playoff push, and second or third round or something was going to get done. And they were good throughout the whole 90s, Can't say the same about the last, decade and a half or two decades, but, throughout the whole 90s, it was an exciting, tough team, man. They did it with defense, but they played every game they came to play.
Yeah, those were good times, man. Those were good times. I remember Charles Smith missing the dunk, playing the Bulls all the time, getting excited, and just Jordan winning in six, and all those, and Reggie Miller seconds hitting a couple threes and stealing our hearts. So those were tough memories back in the day. But did you ever go to a Knicks game when you were younger? Did you ever go to games back in the day?
Yeah, I went to a few. Went to a couple preseason games, I remember, but I also went to four or five regular season games. I went to more in the late 90s and early 2000s because, basketball tickets were a little expensive back in those days, in the early 90s. That was a little tough, but, stuff started getting older, I started working, growing up and getting older and stuff like that and getting money, then, I was able to get some Knicks tickets and, check them out. But I haven't gone in a while, man, because, I watched them on TV, I still support them, but then, I was like, come on, man. I'm not going to go out and spend money to watch this, which you're putting out there,
I think I owe some money to some people on some gambling bets on the Knicks, Mike. Mike, it's not good, bro. I think I bet a bunch of people that the Knicks make the playoffs, and that did not happen.
I mean, we get in trouble with the gambling sometimes. Especially if you're betting on the Knicks. I mean, I don't know why you even bet on the Knicks, but.
I'm a loyal fan.
They give you some hope to begin the season, and then they just really, really just annihilate your hopes and dreams. So let's change gears. Let's talk a little bit of football. So you're a Giants fan. You said you're rocking the Giants jacket when you guys cross paths there. Obviously, myself and Rick, are Jets fans. I happen to like the Giants as well. I'm not a total hater like Rick is. But talk to us about the Giants. More recent Giants, and how you feeling about them?
Yeah, I feel like they're there. Like, they have a chance to make something good. Like, I feel like they're there. I just I don't know. They still got to make – they got to prove it on the field. I mean, I like Saquon Barkley. I love him.
He's a beast.
You know, everybody was on not sure about the quarterback, you know, but I think he got potential. You know, I think he's – you know, I think he can do it. I don't know if he's going to be another Eli, but let's give him time, you know. And Ingram is good. I like Ingram. I think he's very solid as a tight end. And I don't know. The defense, maybe they got to build up a little bit because – I don't know. Every year for the last several years, it's been disappointing. You know, I always give them the benefit of doubt, thinking, "Listen, we can make a you know, we especially in the East, the division's always it's always a shaky division, so anyone can win that." And yeah, I mean, they've been horrible the last several years too. They're you know disappointing, at least in my opinion.
But what do you think of Joe? Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
How are you feeling about having to play two games against the Washington football team? What they're not going to be named.
Well, I guess that's what we're playing, the Washington football team as of right now. So that'd be interesting. Let's see how that goes.
And how do you feel about Joe Judge? Sorry, Mike. Jesus, I keep cutting off.
You go.
No, I was just going to say, how do you feel about Joe Judge, the new coach, the head coach of the Giants?
I know about him, but I don't know a lot about him enough to make any comments. So I just got to let it see how it works out. I don't know. I give him the benefit of the doubt right now, you know, and hope that he can turn it around and put the team, you know, on a good path.
Yeah, as long as he's not Adam Gase, right, Mike?
As long as he's not Adam Gase. Yeah, you know, obviously he's had, you know, Joe Judge just has success, you know, I mean, you know, with Bill Belichick and all that. So, you know, I think he can turn the team around a little bit, and they definitely have pieces on offense. You know, I like Clayton. Ingram has to stay healthy, though. But, you know, I do have some kind of faith in Daniel Jones, something. Barkley, as long as he stays healthy, I mean, it was a freak thing last year, but he still came back. You know, in what 3 weeks? I think for what was it 3 weeks?
Quicker than he was supposed to.
A lot quicker than he was supposed to, and he was a beast. I mean, he started off slow when he came back, but then he really turned it up. You know, those last like 4 or 5 weeks in the season. But if they all stay healthy and you guys did you catch the show on Tuesday and see Christian?
No, I didn't get a chance to see. I didn't know the show was on Tuesday.
No, all good. Yeah, we had the new undrafted rookie out of Hampton University, Christian Angulo, on as a guest. You can check that out afterwards.
Okay, definitely.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Really, real humble, you know, real hardworking, and we're rooting for him, you know, and hopefully he can help that Giants defense.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, Giants defense is pretty tough.
We have somebody here that claims the Mets jacket.
We have somebody here who has the Mets jacket.
How are you guys feeling about your team? You guys feeling good about your team this year?
Well, like we mentioned before, Gase.
I don't even want to get into it, man. It hurts. Mike, go ahead, man. Yeah.
Well, with Gase at the helm, I don't feel confident. You know, I could see them being last place in the division, but I could also see them, you know, having some kind of a run. But it's really up to Gase. You know, what kind of coach is he going to be this year? They have the players on the team, but they don't have. You know, the mastermind behind the clipboard, you know, giving them the right calls, really. I mean, Le'Veon Bell barely touched the ball last year, it felt like. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell's done nothing but produce in Pittsburgh. And then, you know, Gase, just because he doesn't like him and, you know, made it known he didn't like him, you know, when they signed him, you know, I just feel like, you know, he did the same thing with Kenyon Drake, too, who was a you know, great player, and obviously it shows now because now he's sitting there in Arizona and he's really tearing it up over there. You know, he leapfrogged David Johnson, you know, who was another premier talent. Well, was a premier talent. You know, he definitely fell off a little bit too, but to not give Le'Veon Bell the work, yeah. You know, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell was a beast in Pittsburgh, so you gotta play him.
You just have to give him a shot.
You know my opinion, man. I'm the idiot who said that Sam Darnold is going to take us to the Super Bowl in 3 years, and we haven't done a damn thing, man. Not one thing. Coach sucks. We can't coach. Our star safety want to be on the team. Bro, we haven't drafted well in a decade. It's just bad. I mean, it just cannot get any worse than what it is right now. Gase the coach? No. Is Darnold the quarterback? We have no idea. It's a disaster. So you know how I feel. Wait and see. But there is one thing I want to ask you, because we're talking about experiences and great moments. Just to get back to the Mets quick, you have a story about how when you were in, I believe it was at Citi Field or was at Shea Stadium?
Which story?
The foul ball, where you caught the foul ball.
Oh, that was still Shea Stadium. That was 2003.
So tell our viewers, tell the fans who are listening a little bit about that story, because that's a great story.
Oh, yeah. Something that I never thought would ever happen in my life, that a lot of people never think is going to happen to them. Yeah, you catch a foul ball, a fly ball. Yeah, it was a game that was, you know, the Mets already out of it. It was a seventh inning maybe or eighth inning. And, you know, not going to lie, I was sitting somewhere in the middle. But at that time, people used to move up. And then, you know, they didn't say nothing. So I was moving up to the first base side and basically as close as I could have gotten. Foul ball comes and the camera caught me and everything. I even was able to get it on DVD and get that little clip. So I was able to keep that memory for the rest of my life, because it was a decent play. I was able to lean over and catch the ball barehanded, and I got a standing ovation from the people around me. It was a cool moment. I'm not gonna lie.
Did you catch that one handed or with two?
No, I caught it with two. I reached over because I had to lean over a little bit over a rail.
Oh, and yeah.
My boy was right next to me. We were laughing because I thought the ball was coming to him. And boom, it came right to me. And I was like, wow, in-game moment, you know, my little 15 minutes of fame right there.
Yeah. Now, is that on YouTube for the people to go to see it, go search for it or not? It's not
out there? No, but maybe I'll have to put that on soon.
Have to, bro. You might have to put that on there, man. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, anything else come to mind? You know, it's like this, you know, what was that like, you know, an iconic fan experience on, you know, other than that, like, you know, just like during a game or, you know, being at a, you know, specific game, or, you know, maybe it's the Giants beating the Patriots, you know, Super Bowl. No,
those are games that are iconic to watch, but I wasn't at those games. The best games that I probably been, I went to, I think it was 2006 when the Mets made a little playoff run. And I think it was the first round and they were playing the Dodgers. And it was nothing exciting, but it was the play where the Dodgers try to that scene, that thing that you rarely see in the games, but always in the movies, where the guys are trying to score and one's running right behind the other one, like the trail runner catches up to the lead runner.
Yeah.
They tried to do one of those on the Mets, and I can't remember who it was from the outfield that he gunned them out, and I think LaDuca was the catcher, and he caught it. He got them both. One tried to hop around, he caught them both, there was three outs, and the crowd went crazy after that play. That would be one moment. That was great. And then the other moment was, well, the whole game was the 2015 against the Cubs. Noah Syndergaard, freezing cold in Citi Field, and he was lights out, man. He was lights out that game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought in 06 and in 15 they should have won a World Series. But, you know, 06,
yeah,
you know, that ending was pretty rough. I went to the first Cardinals game, and I was there for Beltran hitting a two-run homer, which pretty much, you know, won that game. That was really it for the offense in that game. But then Game 7 came, and it was just like,
oh, man. I remember that he just went down looking. Knees buckled and everything.
Hey, man. Listen, you got to hack sometimes, bro. You got to take a swing.
Sometimes you got to look bad out there and just throw a bad swing out there and just foul it off if you can.
I would have rather that.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was looking for something else at the time. Maybe he was looking for a different pitch and it just completely, I don't know. But, man, that sucks. I remember that.
They didn't have a center field camera out there at the time to tell them what the pitch was.
nobody banging on a trash can out there?
Yeah. You know? So let me ask you this, between the Mets, the Knicks, and the Giants, all right, and they've all had some ups, but they've also had some downs. Out of all three, what's the worst sort of all three teams you've ruled, the worst moment that you've endured as a fan of those three teams? Whichever one. Where you're
like a moment or a season?
It could be a season, could be a moment. Like for me, it was 0-4 Yankees where I was like in a daze for like a month. I was like, what happened? But like, you know,
it's so many, because with the Mets and the Knicks, there's so many of them that It's crazy. The Giants, not so bad. The Giants have given me some headaches, but they're not so bad. I can't be mad at them. You know, I've seen them watch Super Bowl. I've seen them win Super Bowls and up to till yeah. several years ago. So I can't really be too mad at them. Eli was the real deal. The 80s up until the early 90s team was good. And even in the mid-90s, they weren't so good, but it was still decent enough to watch. So I can't be mad. They even made a Super Bowl run in 2000, I think, when they lost to the Vikings. So they were always decent, not to the Vikings, when they lost to the Ravens. And they were always a decent team. So the Knicks, man, I don't know. The whole that the Stephon Marbury era was really bad.
It was bad.
They had a decent team going, but they traded Zach Randolph in the middle of the season. I think there were like a few games over 500 that year. That last year when Zach Randolph was on the team, I think who else? Jamal Crawford might have been on the team. But after that, it was again more disappointments, bad draft picks. So it's like a lot of bad moments. The Mets too. I mean, the Mets have done a little better than the Knicks, I would say, but they were horrible in the 90s too. They were really bad.
Yeah.
I think my worst moment would have been. What could have been my greatest moment if they would have won the 2000 World Series against the Yankees? That could have been my greatest moment. But
yeah, isn't it sad that you can't figure out the worst moment from your teams, but you can figure out the best real quick?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now that in that 2000 World Series, the moment that always sticks out of my head, and I don't know if you guys remember, it was when Ty Zeal hit that almost home run that hit the top of the wall. And Timo Perez was celebrating and running around second.
And then he turned it up again.
He got thrown out at home. That was right there. What turned the whole – every the series went down after that, I think.
Game one? Was that game one?
That was game one already. The Mets were
up. Oh, and I remember that, yeah.
And the Mets were up 5-3, I believe, in the last inning, and Benitez came and blew it. So
typical of Mondo Benitez. Yeah, that's not
bad. We all know that guy. That guy – oh, man.
Yeah. We all remember him for sure.
He was lights out throughout the season, but in the playoffs, I'm sure the Yankee fans know him pretty good too. So,
indeed. Yeah, I mean it's not just him, you know, with the Mets. It's all the Mets closers. You know, that nobody could get the job done. I mean, let's think about it. You know, 2007 against the Cardinals. You know, Hallman came in. I mean, granted, he wasn't the closer, but you know, he gave out that home run. You know, and Familia in 15.
Even when they tried K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, he wasn't that good either when he came over. He was already abused by the Angels when he came over.
Yeah, no, he went from riches to rags real quick.
Yeah, Billy Wagner was okay the first couple years they signed him. He was all right. He was probably the only one.
Yeah,
for like his first couple years, Billy Wagner.
But apparently he stole Mariano's song, but we all know it was the other way around. Wagner had it first.
And the Mets ended up somewhere between the mid-80s up until the 2000s. They traded away a lot of starting pitchers that turned out to be really good closers. Rick Aguilera, Jason Isringhausen, too, that comes to my head really quick.
Well, you remember Isringhausen, Pulsifer, they had like their big three. They all got hurt. Like they just couldn't pitch anymore.
Yeah, they all got hurt. At least Isringhausen was able to continue on a career as a reliever. The other two, I think, were out of the major leagues in a few years after that.
Yeah. Well, Isringhausen went to the Cardinals and became a star.
Right? Yeah. And then I think he also continued with the Athletics. He had some good years, I think, also. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I know. As long as they're not sitting there relieving and pitching for the Mets, you know, then you're okay. You're just not allowed to go to the Mets, but I'm hoping this year we have some decent relievers. But you know, we had DeGrom with a scare last week. Stroman's on the IL already, and we already lost Syndergaard the entire season. So it's not starting off that great.
No, and with a shortened season,
they don't know how to win a summer camp game. So I mean, they're playing like it's July already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a shortened season, if they would have had a full rotation, they could have made a lot of noise. They could have been serious if they would have had Syndergaard with Stroman with DeGrom in a 60-game season. But looks like it's DeGrom by himself with a decent supporting cast. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's see if they can give him some run support too tomorrow. You know, it should be a good game tomorrow. DeGrom against the Braves. Yeah, we got a pretty tough schedule for these 60 games. You know, like the first. the first quarter and the last quarter aren't really
too
friendly to the Mets, you know. Not like the Yankees. They get cake. They're gonna have a lot of Orioles.
We're playing the World Series champs tonight. And we're up 4-1. I mean,
we're playing 25 times.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to play.
You're playing the minus three players, Tulsa, right now.
Come on, man. Look, we have his name slips my mind. Chapman, who's out with COVID. All right. DJ LeMay, he was out with COVID. All right. Tanaka almost got killed about a couple weeks ago. So it's not like we're all. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're 100% either. But E, I wanted to ask you this. We talk about you know, fans have like they have superstitions, they have rituals, they have like things that they do for a game, like to get ready for a game, right? So tell us some of your sort of interesting things to like to wish luck on your teams for a game. Like, what are some of the things you do for your teams, whether it be the Giants or the Knicks or the Mets or what have you?
Nothing really as far as getting ready for a game. Nothing really. I just. As long as I have something, my food set up and all that stuff,
okay.
I'm ready to go. Mostly with football, especially because you know the football is a little longer, and you want to make sure you catch that game. So that's the one main one. I always want to have my food, time, everything, sit down and ready to go. But that's about it. My only superstition ritual was when I play softball or baseball or basketball. That two pairs of socks was always my thing. Ankle brace because I have bad ankles and two pairs of socks. That was my only superstition that I really ever had. Aside from that, as far as playing or watching, no, nothing. I don't know if you guys, if you have any that you could share, but nothing really here.
I mean, when I watch it,
I do a couple of things, but you know, it's nothing has actually worked. So
yeah,
yeah, we're Jets fans. It's awful.
I'm still a Mets fan, but talk to us about your playing days. Yeah, I see that you played a lot of basketball, like all around the city.
Mostly just a lot of street ball, and that's what it is. I didn't go to college, so I didn't get to play anything like that. And now my high school years were nothing really too good. I wasn't really a great high school person as far as going to school, so I didn't really have that to go about either. So thing was going from parks, you know, in Queens, and eventually once in a while occasion on to Brooklyn or Manhattan, you know, playing tournaments and stuff like that. But that was it, just go to park to park, and then in the winter finding indoor courts, tournaments also to play in. And that was the love of my life till this day. I still play softball. Unfortunately, my basketball days are a little behind me because of injuries and stuff like that, but that's the biggest love of my life, is just playing sports, man. You know, can't the competition, just having fun out there with people, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, and you you talk to people that you played, you know, you met through basketball and softball. You like you just talk to them as a like friendly now that you're not playing too. Like you built relationships.
Mostly with basketball because I started playing basketball like seriously like 12, 13, 14. And that's when I started meeting a lot of the friends, and I'm still friends with these people that I hang out with them, and we text, we talk, we meet up for to eat, and these are people that I've known all my life, and that's how we met, through basketball and just growing a bond and a friendship, just going to parks, going traveling together, and then hanging out after the games and just talking about what happened and everything. And that's it. All of my closest friends, I could basically say all of them, we all play some kind of a sport together at some point of our life. And I just loved it because, you know, it's a great way to meet people and make friends and you know, interact with different kinds of people from all cities and towns and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, me and Rick met, you know, at a Met game, and then, you know, pretty much kept talking since then. You know, he joined the Fantasy Football League, and, you know, now we're hosting a podcast together.
Yeah, you know, so really, that's great.
You know, all started in a Met game, and he didn't even like the Mets.
Yeah, at a Met game.
It was meant for you to go to that Met game then, huh?
Aaron Lee, man. Next time we're going to a Yankee game, Mike. We got to go out there. When they let us back in the stands.
Okay, so on the just on the subject of, you know, just like connecting with people that, you know, that are, you know, fans of sports, you know, I know you're single and everything, but, you know, have you ever, you know, like dated – like a sports
I've dated girls that have liked sports, but I've never really dated a woman that liked the same teams that I liked. So I dated a woman that she was a Yankee fan. She was not a Giants fan. So I was like, all right, great. You're a friend of you're cheering for the enemy. you know that Mets Yankees, there's not really much love there, you know?
Yeah.
I've done my fair share of Yankee fans as well, and they didn't really turn out too well. But right now I'm married, you know, I'm a Jets fan, and my wife is a Bills fan, you know, So it works out on that end. But you know, I just, you know, the whole family, like with the Bills Mafia, it's, you know, it's fun for sure, you know, and it's definitely fun to see how they are, you know, very passionate fans, and it's, you know, it's fun to watch. But when the Jets come around and, you know, they come on the schedule, you know, we are enemies for those 2 weeks, you know. I mean, granted, hopefully we have 3 weeks that we can fight and, you know, see them both in playoffs one of these days, but I don't think that's going to happen to the Jets anytime soon. But you know, I mention is because, you know, the producers of this podcast is Playing the Field. And Playing the Field is, you know, sports fan community, but we also have a dating app, you know, for sports fans specifically out right now. And it's, you know, it's beta for anyone that's, you know, watching and listening that, you know, that is looking to, you know, date a sports fan just like themselves, you know, whether it's, you know, competing team or just somebody that understands, you know, the game of sports and understands like the feelings behind them and the, you know, community aspect and the relationships you could build, you know, with both knowing the same thing and sharing the same passion, lifestyle, you know. So if you can go on playthefielddating.com, put in promo code fan experience, and, you know, hopefully you can find your MVP on there.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's a great thing. Even if you don't cheer for the same teams, sometimes the little competition is always a fun thing to have too. So it goes both ways, sharing a team together or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it works for me. So, Rick, you got any
questions? No, that was good. E, thanks for coming on tonight. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on, man. Thank you, guys. Have a good thing going on here.
Thanks for coming on. By the way, before we go, over under on the Mets this year.
As far as wins?
Yeah.
We'll go with 34.
Wow.
Maybe. Right. I still even with the injuries, I see something good. I see a decent size, decent enough team to make the playoffs. Plus, they expanded the playoffs. So,
All right. Well, there you have it, everybody.
So hopefully we can see the Mets get there at least, and then, you know, hopefully more people are going to be healthy by then, and we can really make a run for it.
Yeah, let's hope for it, man. Let's go. I'll take the championship with the Astros. Next to it. All right, guys.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, that's what I'm saying, man. Yeah,
thanks for coming on.
E, thanks for coming on, man. Be a loyal viewer, bro. Take care.
Thanks, brothers. Have a great night, man.
All right. Take it easy.
That was my great buddy there. Good guy. Easy. I thought he wore the Mets jacket. I could completely foobar that one. I could have sworn.
Apparently it was David Gomez.
Yeah.
He claims this Mets jacket. So, you know, it is what it is. He does have Mets. So it's not like you're wrong. Maybe he wore a Mets jacket at one point. Maybe he forgot.
I don't remember David Gomez wearing a Mets
jacket. When you said a red Mets jacket, that didn't really make sense because there's no red. Like, I don't think they have a red Mets jacket. Oh, but a red Giants jacket makes more sense.
Maybe. No, he was. It was like a blue old I just remember him wearing a Mets jacket, you know. But I don't know. It was like 30-something-odd years ago. But, yeah, it could have been David Gomez wearing a Mets jacket, and if he was wearing that Mets jacket, he should bury it. How about that? Yeah.
Nah. Well, anyway, it was nice having him on. You know, it was a lot of nice talk about the, you know, the Mets, and very, very lovely talks about the Knicks and their success over the last 20 years. And,
get somebody,
Giants as well. You gotta get somebody out of so, Nick. You know,
Let's get the news and notes.
Yeah, let's get the news and notes. Are we still in a regular here? I haven't even looked over at the TV.
We are still in the. We're still there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to get it in. Yeah, I mean, it's looking like Dodgers Giants might hit the TV waves, you know, before the Yankees actually get back to play. But so let's talk a little bit about you know, NBA starting next week. Taking care of some, and what are you feeling about
okay? I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I said, it's gonna be I got you. You're breaking up a little bit, but I got you. It's gonna be interesting. You know, like I said in the first show, we talked about, you know, it's LeBron James's MVP. It's LeBron James's title to lose. As we're watching, I'm watching this rain delay here. There is a flood in the dugout right now. That is insane.
Yeah,
I've never seen
goodness.
That.
Goodness! Wow. Now, holy. Well,
you need a boat to get in there right now. That's crazy.
Wow. Severe storms in here. The game has been delayed. Please exit the seating bowl. Who's in the seating bowl?
Nobody's in the game. Nobody's there. Well, I mean, yeah. Unless the people in the hotel over there. I mean.
Who are you asking to leave?
What's his name? The reporter for Buster Only. He's the only one there.
Yeah. He's like, okay, Buster Only, please exit the seating bowl. Oh my god!
You can't make that up.
Obviously, they haven't updated. Fauci.
That's embarrassing, Fauci. Literally embarrassed himself right there. It's terrible.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Oh, they're replaying the Stanton home run. So,
but getting back to the NBA,
nice. Yeah,
getting back to the NBA real quick. Like I said, I think it's just I just think that they this is LeBron James' title to lose, I just think that you know, he's, you know, it's. You know, now or never for him to win this fourth title. Kawhi's in his way. Giannis is in his way. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, there's something I wanted to touch on. I was talking about in the last show, we talked about, like, there's LeBron and there's everybody else. But even during, like, LeBron's prime, I mean, Steph Curry for a period of about 4 or 5 years there was the best player in the league. And so, you know, I just think that right now he's head and shoulders above everybody else. But I never remember a player with all his talents and all his greatness – a player of that talent, that magnitude of greatness, that during his prime, there was somebody that was better than him or equal to him. And that was Steph Curry during that prime. So he's lucky that Steph and the Warriors aren't there, because if they were there, I don't think they'd be winning either. But it's like I said, this year's his title to lose.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely one of the front runners. I'll give you that. And, you know, it's exciting now that we have – I mean, we had baseball back for a minute.
Yeah.
But they'll start back up again with out in LA, but or California. Where are they, in LA or in San Fran?
In Los Angeles, yeah. Let's talk about this. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. I keep cutting you off.
No, you go.
I was gonna say we got to get to this story. Mike Tyson, at the age of 54, making a return to the ring September 12th against Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition tournament. I think it's great, man. I think it's great for the sport. I think it's great for the fans. I think it's great for the country. The guy has just this, like, he has this aura about him. It brings nostalgia back, but he has something about him that can draw people. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see him in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, he's one of the best to ever have done it. You know, at 54, though, it's like, it's going to be interesting. Interesting to watch, to say the least. Honestly, I didn't see this coming. I was like, when I came across my phone, I was like, what? Tyson at 54 wants to box again? But certainly entertaining, you know, to say the least. And, you know, I mean, it's one thing for, you know, 50, 60-year-olds to come into the WWE when you know it's, you know, not real. But no, this guy's 54, and he wants to literally go out there and do 8 rounds. I mean, we think it's going eight rounds? I mean, what's your take on that?
Listen, he's fighting Roy Jones Jr. And if you know anything about Roy Jones, he's been like those last few years when he was at the top of his game, or when he was sort of past his prime, he was getting knocked out by everybody. Antonio Tarver knocked him out. You know, fighters were just knocking him out. And I'm concerned more for him, because Tyson, if you still look at him, he's in tremendous shape. I mean, if you look at the videos, the guy, he's ripped, man. He's thrown with this ferocity, these punches. And my concern is for Roy Jones. He gets hit with a right hand, man. I mean, that could be the end of it. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, these guys got to do neurological tests and physicals and what have you. But, you know, you get Tyson getting some action, getting a couple of shots there in the first round. And, you know, I hope for Roy Jones, he knows what he's doing, because he might end up getting, like, crushed.
And it's not that far out, right? Isn't it like September 12th or something?
It's like, it's almost like a month and a half. Oh, this year.
Yeah, it's usually, like, you know, fights are months, you know, booked months in advance, no? For training purposes, they're only like 8 weeks out.
Yeah, but they've been training for a while.
They've had to have known this, and they're just announcing it today. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. You know,
I'll tell you this much. I'm paying for it. I'm watching. I'll be whatever it costs. I'm watching.
I want to see it for sure. I mean, I really don't see many people that won't want to at least see it for a second or two. Like, I mean, you're gonna probably have to get it on pay per view, because I don't know, bars and stuff. Like, we don't know where bars are gonna be, you know, come then, and if you can go to a bar and watch it. But, you know, definitely gonna find a way to watch it, even if I have to buy it on pay per view.
Let me ask you this: if we were, let's say, no COVID, do you think it'll have like a million buys or something like that? Like, do you think it'll, like, the bars will be packed? Do you think it will be a sold out? Would you think it would be a sold out arena to watch it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the dude's 54 and he wants to come back and box. I mean, this is Mike Tyson we're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, I don't see. I mean, there's been sellouts for things that I didn't think were as big as this. So, you know, I certainly think that it's going to get sold out. I mean, especially for people that have never seen Mike Tyson box, you know, the younger crowd.
Right.
You know,
and I was going to say the undercard is Nate Robinson against who is this? This Jake Paul, I think is what it's called. This guy's called, yeah, Jake Paul against Nate Robinson, the undercard. I mean, you know, you can't make it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, obviously it's Tyson or bust. You know, it's the Tyson fight or it's bust. But yeah, it's certainly interesting, and I was amazed when I saw it today. Let's see, you know, what else is going on around the league? I mean, we talked about Antonio Brown the other day, and now he's, you know, telling the NFL to hurry up on this investigation, because I still want to play and I want to talk to these teams. But, you know, our opinion doesn't change. We want this guy to take at least a year off, get his mind right. And then, I mean, but who knows? You know, what if the investigation happens and they suspend him for a whole year? You know, then he gets that out of the way. So in that aspect, you know, it works for, you know, to try and push them. But for the investigation, like, he's telling them to try and hurry up this investigation. But, you know, this COVID going on, it's not like business as usual when it comes to, you know, looking into all these things and looking into it in, you know, legal aspects and things like that. You know, courts are shut down, you know, for the most part, other than like violent offenders and stuff like that. But, you know, it's COVID, so it's gonna take some time for him. But, you know, we'll see what happens, and we'll see what pans out there. And we touched on it a little bit during the interview. Washington's gonna go by the Washington football team for the remainder of the season. There was talk that, you know, they're looking into the Washington Sentinels, like the replacements, and I like it. You know,
I like it. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
I wonder if they can get Shane Falco too.
That'd be great, man. Have him come out there for the first game of the season, and you know, like do the inaugural coin flip or something like that. Yeah, that's you know, listen, if they do that, I think that's good. On the Antonio Brown thing, we talked about it last time. The guy, figure it out, man. Like, you got to straighten your life out. Football is the last thing you should be worrying about, you know. And you know, the league.
Yeah.
If the league finishes their investigation, they find out, they uncover some stuff, they're gonna suspend them for the season. You know, they're gonna suspend them for the season. It's the right thing to do. Sit out a year. He can come back. He's a young guy. You know, just get your life in order.
He's 31 now, so he comes back when he's 32. It's not, you know, I mean, the guy has talent. You know, just make sure your mind's right.
That's what it is.
That's the main thing. You know, let's not rush back and, you know, and put him on a team where it's like, you know, first year, second year coach, and he's just going to cause drama in the clubhouse and stuff like that. So just get your mind right. You know, get everything settled that you need to get settled, and you know, come back in a year and a half, and we'll be good to go.
And if things can't go from bad to worse of the NFL, man, this story of Woody Johnson, for those of you who haven't heard, he's the ambassador of Great Britain. Woody Johnson has been accused of making racist and sexual remarks as the ambassador. It's a Great Britain. And, you know, with all that's going on in the world, not only the NFL, but the Jets, it was the last thing we need to hear. And if this Inspector General report is true and these allegations are confirmed, I see no way, you know, regardless of what happens in 20, you know, the election, I see no way how he can come back and be the principal owner and calling the shots for the Jets. I don't see any way that they need to do that. And the league needs to get in front of this. Like, they need to get in front of this and be like, what's going on? Like, find out the investigation, because if this stuff is true and he wants to come back and be the general owner again, that just, they cannot allow that to happen under any circumstances. And it's another owner that's going to be have to force to either sell the team or sell his position. And, you know, the league's having an issue with the owners, man. I mean, it's the owner in Carolina, Dan Snyder, now Woody Johnson. I mean, it just, this stuff just does not end. And there's like, it's almost like there's no end in sight. And I don't know what the league's going to do about this, but if, like I said, if this is true, they cannot in any way, shape, or form let him on the team.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough situation, and you know, I mean, we got to see how it plays out. I mean, he's sitting there denying it, and you know, he's saying that it doesn't add up to my, you know, the history of my character and things like that. But obviously, an investigation has to be done. We have to get to the bottom of it. But, yeah, if it is true, you know, something's going to have to give for sure. Hey, maybe Gary Vee can buy the Jets sooner than he anticipated.
Listen, Gary Vee, if you're listening out there, man, this is your time and this is your moment, man. Make your move. Get a couple of investors together. Get some people out there. Make your move and buy this team, because we can't have an owner like this saying this kind of crap, man. Because if this stuff is true, man, I mean, it's just – it goes to show. I mean, this guy is a billionaire. And he doesn't even know about like ethics or like the right, like know what's right and wrong and like the right thing to do. Like, you're a billionaire, dude. Like you know, you know what right and wrong is. You shouldn't be saying stuff like that or behaving the way you was.
Yeah, it's not a fun situation, to say the least.
And especially for us, we're Jet fans, man. Like, we have to deal with this stuff. I mean, it just sucks.
I know. Yeah, I mean, but you know, the NFL has had their drama before. You know, it's not like the Jets are the only ones in the center of drama, but we certainly don't want to be in any part of it. You know, we have bad – it's bad enough having Gase as our head coach. Now we have – you know, I mean, Jamal Adams goes, you know, it all starts at the top, you know. So you would have to imagine that, you know, Jamal Adams would send out a tweet, you know, being, you know, unhappy at the Jets in the first place, but he says, you know, the wrong people are at the top, or it's got to, the right people have to be at the top. I can't remember the exact words, but it was that was the gist of it.
But it gives them fuel to say, I'm leaving. I mean, it gives them the stuff to say, listen, I want out. And you know my feelings about them. Box safety, go. But, you know, with this, it's just terrible, man. It just, it sucks. It's awful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe Gary V will buy it, and we can have some playing the field nights at the Meadowlands.
There you go.
Hey, who knows? You know, maybe the new owner will pony up some dough for their own stadium. You know, so we don't have to double dip over there. Like, come on, like, why do we got to keep sharing a stadium? Can the Jets actually go to New York? Why does everyone have to play in New Jersey? You got two New York teams that are called the New York teams playing in New Jersey, and the only New York team is actually not even the name Buffalo. So it's,
yeah, I don't know what it is about Jersey, man.
I don't. Well, I mean, hey, you could sports bet out there. You can't
That's
do it.
That's what it is. Yeah,
I mean, they have their own FanDuel sports book at the Meadowlands itself. So, I mean, that's one little perk. But right now, you can't even go there anyway. So, no need to drive 2.5 hours. Well, in my case, it takes me like 2.5 hours. Yours is a little quicker than mine. You know, you're a little bit closer from there. But yeah, it's we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. I mean, that's all we can do is sit and watch. You know, and there's not much else going on, so I'm sure they'll figure it out. Especially, you know, he's got ties with Trump, and it's an election year. I'm sure they're going to figure it out sooner rather than later, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, listen, this was a great show. I want to thank our guest Eric Gonzalez El Uno for coming on, Mikey. It's always a pleasure to do a show with you, and we're going to do it again next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Everybody. Thanks for joining us. Peace.
Have a good night, everybody, and enjoy the opening weekend of the MLB.
Right.